Our guest is ready to go.
Oh, there we go.
I love this. Earliest rock star interview ever.
It's got to be.
Yes.
7:30 in the morning. He's had to have been up all night, I'm guessing, just because of rock stars in there.
Maybe he does goat yoga in the morning.
Maybe he doesn't. Listen, we love this band. We love his band. Casey had a chance to, when they were in town last, have a one-on-one interview with him.
I was so nervous, but he was gentle with me.
And we just played the song Wild Child from Black Keys. Please welcome Mr. Dan Auerbach.
Yay!
Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. Have you been up all night, or did you actually wake up this morning to do this interview?
I've been up all evening.
Okay.
There you go.
I had a feeling. Rock stars.
I had just enough drugs to do this interview.
All right. Excellent.
Listen, you got to know how to parse it out.
Yeah. It'll get me there.
Yeah.
Hey, Dan, congratulations on, you know, more music. You guys keep cranking it out. The album is coming out May 13th. And we've been playing, like I said, a Wild Child. And it's so wild because normally, you know, before you sit down and talk to a musician, you listen to the whole album, you check it out, and it doesn't really happen that way anymore. We get little bits and pieces. Do you prefer doing it the way things are done now?
Where we, like, one song at a time, you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of fun to set up a record like that, you know, get some, you know, a couple of visuals going and, you know. Couple songs, one at a time.
Okay. Speaking of visuals, the video is a trip. You guys are dressed up as a janitor and a cook at a high school, and it's pretty disgusting too. Because you get the pleasure of cleaning up vomit and all that stuff. Whose concept was it to go back into the halls of a high school?
I mean, it's just a documentary.
It's based on fact.
Oh, and by the way, I loved the setup video for the new music where you guys were at a school board meeting, I assume.
That's
is what
right.
That was. That was great.
Yeah, we have a lot of angry fans that they can't believe that we're getting treated like that.
Please tell me, did people actually think it was legit?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, the concept of you know, of putting... rarely do I get to see videos associated with the music these days, and it used to be an essential part of the process. But, you know, you forget how an effective video can help finesse people into listening to the music. So where does it fall on priority list for you guys as far as making sure there's a solid accompanying video?
I don't know, you know. Call us old-fashioned, I guess. We like doing it.
Yeah. It seems like you're having a fun time.
Yeah. I mean, I think it should be fun. I mean, we always liked videos like that. So Brian Schlamm is the guy who wrote it and directed it, and he's really amazing.
I remember there was a stretch where from the video world you were getting people like Russell Mulcahy was, you know, started in music videos and started and became a huge director. You had a conga line of people who graduated from that. So, you know, there's clearly talent in that realm.
Yeah, we're waiting for Brian to get his next movie. We want to be in his movie.
There you go.
Hey, Dan, I wanted to ask about your songwriting. You guys, you write awesome, catchy, feel-good, sing-along tunes, which I love. It's the type, I call them roll-down-the-window songs. So you can be in your car, you can roll down the window and just take it in and sing along and kind of forget about everything else and have a good time. And it seems like you just crank them out easily. Has songwriting always been something that just comes naturally to you, or is it a craft that you really had to work on?
You know, I got a lot better as soon as I met Pat.
Okay.
I think vice versa. You know, we just got lucky, man. We grew up a block and a half from each other, and we had this natural connection. And it was like, as soon as Pat and I started playing music, it was like instantly sounded like music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was very rare. Still is.
And that's what happens with great bands throughout the history of rock. These people met each other.
Yeah.
They were the right people to meet each other, to influence each other, to feedback, you know, get the right feedback and create some of the greatest music we've ever heard. When it comes to the writing process, because, you know, Pat plays drums, what else does he do that contributes to the songwriting as well? Does he write melodic things?
Oh, man, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And we actually started... A bunch of these songs are just around the table with some acoustic guitars trying to come up with lyrics with people like our friend Angelo And our friend Greg, who co-wrote some of the songs with us, and Pat was right there with us, throwing ideas back and forth. And when we're in the studio, he's playing synth, he's playing bass, he's playing guitar.
Okay.
I mean, whatever needs doing, we'll give it a shot.
When I had the opportunity, Dan, to sit down and talk to you a couple of years ago, you know, I'd asked you about, you know, when you started taking guitar lessons or something along those lines. And you were like, no, I never took a guitar lesson. So essentially, you're self-taught. And I don't know when you picked up the guitar for the first time, but, you know, I recently heard an interview with Slash that he was actually like a BMX guy, right? And that's what he did from the time the sun, you know, came up to it went down. And then around 14 years old is when he picked up the guitar for the first time and completely stopped riding his bike and music became his life. So at what point, how old were you when you picked up the guitar and did that take over your life?
It was when I was 14.
Yeah. It was the exact same age.
It was. I mean, I was playing sports before that pretty full on. And I played some sports in high school, but when I turned 14, that's when I started playing.
And was like the switch flipped at that point?
Absolutely. Yeah. You kind of get bit with that bug and it's just like there's no turning back. You know, my family played music. They played bluegrass when we had family reunions and I would see them play guitars and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be able to have a Martin guitar and play and sing those songs with them.
So you're self-taught. How quickly did you take to the instrument? Was it difficult for you or are you just a natural?
It was hard, but, you know, I was young and dumb and butt-headed and just kept at it.
Nice. Because it's such a wonderful thing. I wish, you know, that I had learned an instrument. I think it is so important. That's why music programs in schools are so important, because it does help you to think and process things, and it opens up a whole world to you. I mean, you're a perfect example. Was soccer your sport, I think? Was that what I read?
Yeah. I used to play soccer.
And so everything shifts at that point, and that's the great way. If you find something that you're interested in learning, you're an unstoppable force. And sadly, a lot of times kids aren't introduced or given the chance to find that thing.
I know. You know, my biggest regret is I never learned how to play piano. My mom was a piano teacher, and that was like the one place where I rebelled and like an idiot.
Oh, you had your own teacher right there.
Do you think? And it's weird to sound say because you guys are you guys just put out great song after great song and great album after great album. But do you think had you played the piano that it would make you a better songwriter?
I don't know, man. Every time we have to hire a piano player, I just kick myself.
Son of a bitch. Speaking of hiring, Dan, I wanted to ask about the dynamic of being in a two-member band that's needs more than that for support when playing live and choosing who are going to be your musicians for a particular tour. Do you go with people you know? Do you have auditions? How does that work out?
Well, the guys who've been playing with us recently, the Gabbard Brothers, they're from Cincinnati. They were in a band called The Shams, and the Black Keys played our very first show with them in Cleveland.
Oh, wow.
So we've known them for a long time.
By the way, what was it? Did you post it was 20 years ago? It was a 20-year, was it just
20 years ago?
Yesterday or something like that? Jesus. Was your first gig?
That's right.
That is wild.
What was that night like?
Well, we had 45 minutes of material, and we played it in about 25 minutes.
Yeah, pacing is the big thing.
I don't remember any of it. It was such a blur. I just remember, like, coming to, like, backstage after the show. Like, what happened? What just happened?
Did they tell you to play more because you had more time left?
No, they booked us, and they paid us $10, and then they booked us for 2 weeks later.
Okay,
and we got paid $0 on the next gig.
Wow! All right, so with this hiring, you know, people to play and be a part of your band, do you foresee yourself becoming comfortable with some people and maybe making them a full time part of Black Keys?
Man, I think Black Keys are just Pat and I.
Okay,
you know, we're in the studio. I mean, we'll invite people to come record with us, but you know, the band is always just going to be the two of us. It's like, we're so fortunate we get to do this, and we, you know, we've known each other for so long. It's like, you know, that's just what it is. It's the two of us.
Yeah, well, it's like I always think of the example of Ghost. You know, you have essentially the one man who is Ghost, and everyone else is in masks. So all of your backup musicians from here on in, have them wear masks because they're easily interchangeable.
Yeah, Dan and Pat masks.
Exactly.
That's a great
idea. It makes it so much easier.
There's nothing creepy about that.
No, the audience wouldn't be chilled.
No, but I do like you, aside from the band, you do like to collaborate with the same people, you know, time and time again. And I wanted to talk about your relationship with Perry. Perry Shaw, who does your concert posters. He does them for the Black Keys. He does it for your solo stuff. My favorite concert poster
was... He's from Philly, by the way.
Yeah, he's from Philly, but your concert poster...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Right? I'm letting our audience know that, for those who may not know that.
He's never mentioned that. No.
But the one concert poster, it was just words, and it just says, the Black Keys aren't as bad as Philadelphians say they are, and that might be my favorite concert poster. Do you have a favorite of yours over the years?
Ooh, I don't know, but everything Perry does, I love. He's the absolute best. Shout out to Perry.
And how did you guys end up meeting and start working together?
We met through a band called Jeff the Brotherhood, who are here in Nashville. I worked on a record with them. And then Perry and I did, the first record we did together was for an African group I recorded, a guy named Bombino. And man, we've been working together ever since.
You know, you talk about being a two member band, and you have your sound. You know, the concept of what you are seems to be so solidified, and yet you produce other artists. That's a skill I assume you have to develop to, because it can't be about you. You're going to have to enhance what they are. Was that difficult at first?
No, I love doing that. I love being part of a team. You know what I mean? That's my favorite kind of music, is like, grew up watching my family play bluegrass, and everyone has a really important role to play. And, I like being a part of a record, no matter what, you know, no matter if I'm playing guitar or not. I don't really care, to be honest, you know?
Hey, you know what, Dan, and being Nashville-based and the ridiculous amount of live music that takes place in that town, you ever just pop out somewhere and go jump in with some people you might know and gig a little bit for fun?
Not very often, to be honest. I mean, I go lurk around at night sometimes, but I don't really bring my guitar with me.
Lurking sounds a little weird.
We go lurk in the shadows of the bar.
Okay. I was not behind hedges and stuff like that. It's just regular nightlife.
Where's Jackie Bam Bam at? Is he in there?
No.
Actually, he's listening. You know, he does the 7 to midnight shift, but he stays up all night long working on his show for the following day. I guarantee you he's listening right now.
Yeah, he's a vampire. He's a mummer.
Yeah. What's your relationship with Jackie?
He's my father figure.
This is your father.
You're in trouble.
I don't know if there is another human on this planet that loves music as much as Jackie Bam Bam.
Mm. Wait.
I know.
Yeah.
The enthusiasm is very real.
Yeah. Dan, are you a fan of ice hockey?
I'm trying to get into it.
Okay.
We got a team here, and I want to take my son.
Yeah, well, the Flyers were just there. The Flyers are not great this year, but every time I hear the song Lonely Boy, I associate it with you and your band, because the Flyers did this thing called the Road to Winter Classic. This is probably a decade ago at this point, but they used Lonely Boy so well in that series. And now when I hear it, I just think about this hockey montage. It was voiced, the narration on it was fantastic. And that song does show up in a lot of different pop culture, segments and different, different places. Do you pay attention to when your own songs show up in different pop culture places, or is it just something where you're like, all right, you can license it, and then it is where it is?
No, I just get pleasantly surprised, I guess. You know, I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I think it's, that blows my mind when teams play our music. I think that's the coolest.
It used to be such a weird thing, because there was this, everyone's sort of, your spot was in a commercial for, a rental car or whatever. And now there seems to be none of that. You know, like, there's not, people don't automatically bristle at the notion of a band music ending up for a promotional thing. But I remember years ago, it used to be, they sold out, man.
I know. Pusha T just did a diss song to McDonald's.
Yes. That's right. Yes. I was reading about that. What was his claim? He claimed that he did the, was it Loving It? Or what was their jingle? that he created the hamburger, I think it was.
All right. Well, listen, Dan, we're excited for a whole host of new music from Black Keys, the 11th studio album. Dropout Boogie is on May 13th. We're celebrating the 20th anniversary of the band performing. It's pretty damn cool. You can pre-order that, by the way, dropoutboogie.com, I believe. So if you want to get on ahead of time. And then, of course, you guys are coming to town July 30th in Camden. So Black Keys, summertime
show.
And
we've got a local band. We've got a local band, Ceramic Animal, opening for us.
Oh, nice. Excellent. Excellent.
Philly band, come on.
Love it, man. We'll bring the love. All right, Dan, thanks for checking in this morning. And we'll tell Jackie Bam Bam, your dad, you said hi.
All right.
And we'll talk again down the road. Dan Arbach, guys.
Hey!
Black Keys on the President and Steve Show.
Shout out Jackie like that.
Yeah, totally. I didn't know they were tight.
I didn't see that coming at all.
I can't believe what I just heard. Blabbermouth is going to blow up with this.
It's so wild how many rock stars.
He knows everybody.
Know Jackie. And it's like, I've met a lot of rock stars too. Not one of them have any idea who I am. Jackie just makes this impression.
Yeah,
absolutely. You got to love the guy. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Bizarre File stories are on the way when we return.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.